It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at the subject of problems. And let me remind you, I'm looking at problems through a biblical perspective. Last time we looked at the symptom of worry. This time I'd like for us to look at the symptom fear. You know, there are multiple phobias today. People fear many things. Now, we can easily become fearful and afraid. Some of these fears have been classified into various kinds of phobias. You see, a phobia comes from a Greek word meaning, well, you guessed it, fear. For example, acrophobia. This is a fear of high places. Don't climb the ladder. Claustrophobia. A fear of enclosed places. Don't shut the door. Cynophobia. A fear of dogs. Get rid of the dog. Hydrophobia. A fear of water. Well, get out of the water. Necrophobia. A fear of death. Well, stay alive. Noctrophobia. A fear of night. Now, my suggestion is to move to Alaska if that's you. There's many phobias. Well, consider the following. Fear is not always wrong or sinful. You see, God has equipped man with a capacity to fear. To fear for his own protection, for his own safety, for his own benefit. See, though we often think of fear as a dreaded foe, it can also be man's best friend. Fear is that friend which keeps our hands away from the tiger's cage at the zoo. Fear is that friend that helps us to drive safely in the midst of heavy traffic, sometimes, or in the villages. Well, now, we live close to the villages, and I can say that, and I don't mean any disrespect. Well, fear is that friend that helps us to respect and obey the police officer and helps us stay out of trouble. Well, you can probably think of other ways that fear serves as a friend. Franklin D. Roosevelt said in his first inaugural address, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Well, that sounds good, but in reality, there are things, people, places, and things that we fear. We call those people, places, and things in our lives problems. Well, many times, a problem produces fear. Well, is fear a friend or foe? Well, let's look at the origin of fear. Now, notice that fear can protect us or fear can destroy us. The right kind of fear will eliminate every wrong kind of fear. Well, the first place in the Bible where fear is mentioned is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. And let's read verse 9 with that. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." Well, we need to understand who God helps. God helps to us. He gives us the help we need not to fear. Now, I will not fear God because he is my God. Isaiah chapter 41 talks about this. It says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." This is God speaking. "Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, God is seen as my shield. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26, God is seen as my confidence. And then on and on these verses go. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There are many verses. Another verse, Hebrews 13, 6, says that God is my helper. And in Psalm 91, verse 2 and verse 5, "God is my refuge and my fortress." In Psalm 91, 2, it says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." Well, and if you want to add one more, "I will not fear because he is my refuge, strength, my present help, Psalm 46, 1 and verse 1 and 2. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. In other words, I'm not going to fear. Well, notice what the king fears here. A fear with a capital D. What do you think that is? It's death. Death is man's greatest fear. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Fear of death. See, death is a legitimate fear for the unsaved. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The unbeliever should have a terrible fear of physical death, but an even greater fear of the second death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of what? The second death." See, he that overcomes is the one who lets Jesus Christ forgive him or her of sin. He that overcomes is the one who lets Jesus Christ save him or her of sin. He that overcomes is the one who lets Jesus Christ give him or her eternal life. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." James chapter 1 and verse 15 says, Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. According to Dr. Henry Morse, the word used for finished occurs only here in James chapter 1, verse 15. He said it is an emphatic word implying an ultimate and final consummation. It's over. Thus, sin, if allowed to continue without repentance and redemption, must result in eternal and irrevocable spiritual death. Once a person dies, there's no more choice. There's no more choice after a person dies. See, death, when we think of this, the unsaved person, the person who's never trusted Jesus as Savior, they have everything to fear. Because this life, when it's over, they will not have life. They will have eternal death. Well, death is not a legitimate fear for the child of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For the believer, there is no need to fear the king of fears, death. The believer can face his hour of death bravely and joyfully, knowing that his real life is just beginning." Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That should be our statement today as saved people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, "We are confident, I say unwilling, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Well, I want you to notice that there's a fear that conquers all fears. It's godly fear. This is every human being's duty toward God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Well, when should we fear God? Fear God now, according to the Word of God. Fear God now and forever. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God." Well, and in Deuteronomy 14, 23, it talks about this, and And we need to understand that we need to fear God now and forever. Well, something else. What will be the result of being where God wants you and where God wants you doing what He says to do? Once again, Deuteronomy 14:23, the part of that verse says that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. The more you listen to God, to do things His way, the more you will understand that the reverential fear of God will help you be less fearful of those problems that come into your life. And then we read in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord, your God, forever. It seems that people have lost that fear of God today. They need to be reminded that God is the Creator, that God is all-knowing, that God holds them accountable for what they do. And the main thing that they need to do is accept Him as Lord and Savior. Accept His Son. Accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Well, what's the conclusion? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, not just for the saved person, but for that unsaved person. Keep God's commands. How do you do that? First, you must receive Him as Lord and Savior. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. In other words, the children of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, you need to call upon Him today. You need to fear God. Well, the question for the saved is this. Are you afraid of not hearing God's, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you giving God your very best? Are you presenting yourself to God on a daily basis? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Reasonable in that verse means logical. It is only logical that we as Christians give God what we have. And the only thing that is really worth anything is our lives, our bodies, in service for the Lord. Well, here's a question for the unsaved now. Have you listened to God's counsel? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 33, God says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not. All my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's only one thing that saves a person from the eternal lake of fire, and that is to remember God's counsel. He counsels everyone to look to Him. It says in verse 28 of Proverbs chapter 1, Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. It's too late once you die and leave this life. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, God wants you to know Him today as your Savior. You need to call upon Him. Oh, God, save me. My mind is toward you now, God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Choose the fear of the Lord today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.